Hi, this is Joanne Verkeilen, founder and creator of Circle and Bloom. Welcome to week 10 of our How Einstein to Get Pregnant blog series, a fun and educational way of really looking at the connection between our thoughts and our brains and our minds with our body and ultimately our fertility. So welcome to week 10. Just a quick note about last week's session, week 9, we talked about the connection between the body and the mind. We always talk about mind to body, but what about moving upwards from our body to our minds and whether or not we think that the state of our health or our physical bodies really affect our emotions and thoughts and feelings. So take a look at that. We brought in some interesting information. And again, that was week 9. This week, we're going to turn the tables a little bit and talk about the connection between healing and one's spirituality, really raising a question, which is whether or not we think prayer, moving inward with respect to spirituality and the power of belief can impact our health. And this podcast is going to be more of a series of questions and information that I think in my research for this week's podcast was relevant and interesting as it pertains to this question of whether or not we think that spirituality and the power of prayer can impact one's health. So with that said, and I read quite a number of books actually in connection with this podcast. And the first book that I'd like to bring up is a book called Miracle Cures. And it was written by Robert Scott. And what he looked at was, ever since the Middle Ages, really the reasoning behind why the human race really gravitated towards pleading to saints and other religious figures to ask for healing and the results of that. And it's interesting, I'll talk about one particular story actually he opens the book with, which back in 1421, there was a 14-year-old girl who suffered a very painful and life-threatening injury when a hot spit actually pierced and went into her abdomen. Very, very tragic accident that happened. And people around her were able to take out the spit, but she was really at the point of death. Her parents immediately and several other neighbors got together and prayed to a specific saint. In this case, it was Osmond, who was a bishop during the 11th century in the town of Salisbury in England. And what they did was they pleaded with him and prayed to him, asking him that in exchange for her life being spared, that they would visit his tomb and honor him in prayer. And as the story has been documented, shortly thereafter, the girl began showing renewed signs of life. 2 days later, she awoke out of her unconscious state and rose from her bed. And then 10 days later, she was completely recovered. So this book is actually very interesting in the context of looking at various examples such as this and really digging into the reasoning behind why there has been such a movement. And there still is today. There is 5 or 6 different places around the world that people go to, and they're known as places of healing. In fact, Dr. Wayne Dyer, who's written lots of books, present-day author, speaks of a miracle that happened to him personally when he visited Lourdes, which is in France. Again, another place that's it's essentially a place, a shrine, where thousands, apparently tens of thousands of people have pilgrimaged to and have found that they have been able to heal themselves through the power of prayer. And apparently he had a bad knee and was climbing up a hill nearby, and all of a sudden his knee was completely strong and he was able to walk perfectly and climb this hill or climb down the hill, whatever the case was exactly. And so great example of a present day quote unquote miracle. There was another book called Care of the Soul in Medicine, and this is written by Thomas More. You may recognize his name. He had written, I think it was back in the early 90s, a book called Care of the Soul, which was a New York Times number one best-selling book. And this is a more recent book of his that is designed to provide healing guidance for patients, families, and the people who care for them. And he has a whole chapter about religion and belief, and he proposes that modern-day healers should try to possess a positive, what he calls caring radiance. And he talks about the history of religion, spirituality, and healing, and how widespread this connection is. In fact, Jesus was a healer. Buddha has also been known as healers, and they have this halo about them in the iconic pictures that suggest this radiance, as he calls it. And he really puts forth a very strong suggestion or very strong evidence that healers today, doctors, nurses, should think about that. And what he says is that we all have halos or auras, just like Jesus and Buddha, and that we all radiate the quality of our souls, both good and bad. And it doesn't take much to pick up on the radiance of this soul around a nurse or a doctor, or the expertise behind the nurse or the doctor. And moving back a second to the discussion about miracles and the connection with religion or spirituality, and going back to what Robert Scott writes in his book, Miracle Cures, he talks about the fact that there are a lot of skeptics associated with the connection between the cause and the effect of prayer, and whether or not there is any kind of proof that there's a medical scientific connection there. And what he says, which I think is right, he says that faith and the appeal of prayer to heal is really based on a body of theory and research that has been largely overlooked by those who study miracle cures. The work of social, behavioral, and medical scientists really show that culture, beliefs, cognitions, emotions, social relationships, and physical environment actually play a central role in the onset, course, and outcome of illness. And he says that, which I really find to be enlightening for me, but that his only real quarrel with those that outright dismiss all of these claims of cure through prayer as being hogwash. He says that even when making allowances for exaggeration, wishful thinking, and shameless propaganda, he says he nevertheless concludes that if a sufferer claims to have obtained relief by appealing to a saint or through prayer, that person's account has validity. In the eyes of some medical scientists, these cures may be illusory in the sense that they are not always permanent, which I think, again, speaks to the placebo effect. Scientists claiming that the placebo effect, the results of which are not always permanent, but they are nevertheless solid scientific grounds for the claims of supplicants that their practices can provide relief from suffering. So he says, in other words, I argue that the faithful feel confident in appealing to prayer and saints for cures because for certain conditions and under certain circumstances, such appeals actually work. And why do they work? And I believe that there is a power to our belief system and a power similar to the placebo effect that that miracles can happen and that they do provide relief and help one's physical body. One more book that I'd like to talk about is the book written by Barbara Bradley Haggerty. She wrote a book called Fingerprints of God, What Science is Learning About the Brain and Spiritual Experience. I found this book to be incredibly enlightening. In particular, there is a whole section on her connection between health and healing and religion. In fact, she talks about her experience personally with Christian Science, which, to be honest, I hadn't known that much about before reading this book. But what she says about Christian Science, they basically hold a central premise that healing is a function of spiritual understanding, and that prayer changes our thoughts, which enables us to heal. Now, this is a religion that I can absolutely get behind because I do believe in this connection, that thoughts enable us to heal. And she goes on to say that everything is thought in Christian Science. Everything is going on in your thinking. And she talks about that there was always the example used growing up that if there was a mirror, and if that mirror was full of smudges and toothpaste, and you look into that mirror, your image looks distorted or marred. But it is the mirror that holds the problem, not yourself. Your image, your body, your face isn't distorted or marred by virtue of the dirtiness on the mirror. And it's the way you clean the mirror and restore your reflection, which is to clean up your thinking. She has the story in her book about her mother who had a broken hand. She was playing around with her fiancé at the time, or Barbara's father, and she hit him in the wrong way, and she knew immediately that something was wrong with her hand. But she started thinking, realizing again this Christian Science belief, she started thinking and praying almost like a mantra or a meditation. Nothing can come into my human experience that I do not allow in my consciousness as a reality. You take it out of your consciousness, the broken hand, and erase it, and then you substitute health with the truth. She then writes that her mother had this great sense of light. She had this experience that everything around her was connected. One thing was flowing out of another, out of another, out of another into eternity, and there was nothing but light. She realized then and there that it was all one, it's all God, the allness of God, which she calls, which is the oneness of God. And she realized right then and there that she was within that oneness. She later went to see a doctor about her hand. And I guess she had waited too long, and the doctor said, well, if it is broken, I'm going to have to break it again to reset it because it's been too long. Her doctor looked at her hand and I guess did an x-ray. And the doctor said, well, yes, your hand was broken, but now it is perfectly set and almost healed. She says that her mother, relieving the intensity of that moment, remembered walking out of his office and her feet didn't touch the ground. She felt so filled with God's truth, the spirituality, and the marvel in it. And that was the end of her hand being broken. So I don't know about you, but when I hear a story such as this, my brain kind of goes into a different realm of thinking. It opens doors that I don't even know really existed before. And I listen to these stories with an incredible amount of hope, knowing and sensing that this greater power that is readily available to all of us at all times, the spirit and universe that flows through us. And in fact, when when Barbara was talking about her mother having this experience of everything kind of coming in and coming out, flowing out of one another, out of another through eternity, it made me think of Jill Bolte Taylor's stroke of insight and her incredible and very moving speech that when she talked about what happened to her while she was experiencing a stroke. And I recommend going to our blog, circlebloom.com/blog. You'll find this post, or you can also just Google Jill Bolte Taylor her speech that she did with TED. And it is amazing. Amazing. She talks about the oneness that she felt and that she realized that everything around her in the universe was connected. And here was a scientist going into this, actually a brain. She was a neuroscientist who was having a stroke. And then she was able to really witness and feel the effects of that stroke real time and then talk about it, write about it. And it's an absolutely amazing video that I highly recommend. So in summary, I know that this was kind of a meandering walk through the connection between religion, spirituality, and health, and some stories of miracles. And I'm not suggesting I have the answer or that that there are specific conclusions that come out of it. It's more just raising the question in our minds about the power of belief as it pertains to spirituality. And I'll close with this, which I think is amazing. Dr. Francis Collins, who is actually a leading scientist in the United States today, ran and managed the Whole Human Genome Project. I think it's still ongoing, but I'm not sure. And he wrote a book called The Language of God. And here was a scientist who, for the most of his life, I think, as he writes about, was essentially an atheist. And as he got closer into the human body and seeing the building blocks of life, where not answering his question as much as raising additional questions, you know, it's like one of those you scratch underneath the surface, you have to keep going because the answer does not come through. He simply became convinced that there is a higher power. And he talks about science and spirituality becoming closer the more we learn as a human race, which I think is amazing. So I'll leave it with that. And please come back and subscribe to our podcast on Apple iTunes. You can simply search for Circle in Bloom or How Einstein Would Get Pregnant. And also come back to our blog. Feel free to subscribe to our emails, as you will get a freebie that we are always offering to our subscribers. And as well, please chime in with your comments if you have any stories of anything pertaining to this week 10, religion, spirituality, and health. We'd love to hear it. And visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/CircleBloom, or on Twitter, CircleBloom. Thank you and have a fantastic day.